Welcome to the Ultimate Soulmate Summit, brought to you by The Soulmate Secret and the Calling in the One online course with your hosts, Arielle Ford and Claire Zammit. Today's Soulmate Seminar is with Drs. Gay and Kathleen Hendricks on the topic, The Relationship Catalyst Process, How to Release Old Relationship Patterns and Manifest Your Ideal Life Partner. Dr. Gay Hendricks has served for more than 35 years as one of the major contributors to the fields of relationship transformation and body-mind therapies. He is the author of 33 books, including The Corporate Mystic, Conscious Living, and The Big Leap. Dr. Hendricks received his Ph.D. in counseling psychology from Stanford in 1974 and has had a 21-year career as a professor of counseling psychology at University Colorado. Dr. Kathleen Hendricks, BCDMT, has been a pioneer in the field of body-mind integration for nearly 40 years. Her seminars specialize in training professionals from many fields in the core skills of conscious living using a unique system of whole body learning and quantum coaching. Gay and Kathleen are co-founders of the Hendricks Institute, which offers seminars worldwide, and they have also co-authored many bestsellers, including Conscious Loving and Five Wishes.
And so we're absolutely thrilled to welcome you, Gay and Katie, to the Ultimate Soulmate Summit.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, just to start us off today, we'd just love to hear about how you met each other and recognized each other as your soulmate, and how you came to be teaching about relationships and all areas of finding love and creating extraordinary love.
What a great question. We'd love to tell our meeting story, and I'll tell a short version of it, and then Gay can add to it. Gay came to give a workshop at the place where I was getting my PhD, and from the moment that I knew he was going to be teaching this workshop, I just knew I had to be there. There was this kind of gathering and power, and I didn't know why, but I just knew I had to show up. And then when the workshop was beginning, before Gay had even spoken, he was looking around the circle and came past me and then came back, and we had a recognition. It's interesting you would use that word, Claire, because my experience was that we recognized each other. There was this spark, and it was actually across a crowded room. And then when he went on to begin to speak, my first experience was, this is the most brilliant and funniest man that I've ever met, and I was totally interested in everything that he was saying. And then at the break, I came up to ask him a question, and I didn't get the question out of my mouth because he said...
And what led me to that moment was I had, just before I came out to teach that training with the graduate students there, I had had a big wake-up moment where I realized what I'd been doing wrong that messed up all my relationships in my 20s, and I was at that time in my early 30s, and I had this big realization one day that all the problems in relationship begin if one or the other of us didn't tell each other the truth about something. Then we'd start projecting onto the other person that the other person, there was something wrong with them, and we'd start criticizing each other. And so it didn't matter where this started. Sometimes I would be the one that would withhold some truth that I didn't want to tell my partner, and sometimes it would be my partner that did it. But whenever that would happen, we would start blaming and criticizing the other person. And so I realized I had this pattern, and it could be easily fixed if I just told the truth all the time and took responsibility for what came up all the time rather than blaming or criticizing the other person. So I was fresh off of this big awareness, and I came to teach this training, and I looked around the room, and there was maybe 50 or 60 people in the circle, and as I was looking around, I was kind of scanning people's energy just to kind of see what the mood of the room was and that kind of thing, and so I didn't really have my my actual physical vision working in my eyes so much. It was kind of an energy scan of the room, and I scanned past this person who had this incredible aura around her. And the only thing that came to my mind immediately is, this person is pure love. And so I had to kind of change my eyesight a little bit to see her on the physical level. And when I shifted my eyes so I could see on the physical level, I realized, wow, that's the most gorgeous woman I've ever seen in my life, too. And how wonderful that those two things should be in the same package there. And, anyway, I put that thought aside and decided that during the break, I would communicate that to Kathleen. And so on the break, lo and behold, she came over to me and stood next to me as I was answering some question that some student had. And so when I finished with that, I turned to Kathleen and I said, you know, before you say anything, I have to tell you that I felt very attracted to you this morning. And I wanted to just communicate that to you in the spirit of honesty, because I've recently seen this whole thing about I need to be honest in relationships. And I said, in fact, I only want to have relationships where both people are absolutely honest and both people are committed to taking responsibility for themselves. So on those terms, would you like to have a cup of coffee with me?
And we're assuming she said yes.
Well, so here's what I heard. I certainly heard what Gay said, but I heard what was underneath that, which was, listen, I don't care what you're doing. I want you to drop everything, and I want you to come to Colorado. I want you to engage in this adventure of relationship with me. I don't know where it's going to go, but I'm sure it's going to be just the most exciting thing you've ever experienced in your life. So how about it? So it took me about 15 seconds, and I said, how about lunch?
And it all worked. We're starting our 32nd year together this month.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's just so exciting. And you know, you're such an inspiration, both individually and as a couple, for really millions of people around the world. And I'm wondering, did you do any inner work to prepare to meet each other? Did you do any process of manifestation before that, leading up to that meeting?
Well, I think Gabe shared a little bit about the decisions that he'd made about what he really wanted to be doing. I think my whole life I'd been getting ready to meet Gay. And the purpose of feeling met and being able to partner with another person is something that I had been really longing for and intending really ever since I was a little girl. And so all of the decisions, I realized after Gay and I had gotten together that all of the choices that I had made that were really decisions about integrity. They were really decisions about, you know, is this relationship real? Am I being authentic here? Am I really loving myself and choosing this person from loving myself, or am I trying to get some need met? Those ongoing inner preparations, particularly about being completely authentic and emotionally transparent, and also being committed to my own complete fulfillment as an individual. So to be a whole person, to meet another whole person, I think that kind of inner work had been going on all of my life, and it really prepared me to be able to jump in and take that opportunity when it presented itself. Because I think that those, if you're ready, the opportunity will present itself, but there is also then that moment of, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to jump into the unknown and see what wants to happen.
Had both of you been married before getting together?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, and actually, I think the thing I did before I met Katie was because of some pain I had felt so deeply in an earlier relationship that I had to kind of drop out for a little while and say, what is it I'm doing wrong? And once I kind of figured out those two things about being honest and taking responsibility, I think that I now see Katie as a testimony to the power of manifestation, because I actually sat down and kind of launched this manifestation request to the universe. And it was along the lines of, I want a relationship where both of us can be honest with each other all the time, where both of us take full responsibility for stuff that comes up so we don't waste any time in blame and criticism. And I want a relationship where both of us are committed to our creativity so that both of us have creative paths that we're interested in on our own as well as whatever we create together. And so I said to the universe, this is what I want. These are the three things that are the fundamentals for me. And if it's in the cards for me to have such a thing, I'd like to draw it into my life now. If for some reason it's not in the cards, if there's some other thing I'm supposed to do in my life, okay, but I promise you this, I will never, ever settle for less. And so don't send me anything but this particular package, because I'm not going to say yes to anything else just because I'm lonely or something like that. And so that was my vow to the universe. And since it only took me a few weeks to manifest that, I really have to believe very deeply. And in fact, our whole program, Attracting Genuine Love, and to a certain extent, the singles part of the relationship catalyst, is really about how to craft your manifestation request in such a way that it doesn't take time in order for it to manifest.
What I was also thinking of as you were saying that, Gay, is that everything that we offer in our programs comes from our own experience, comes from our own discoveries and things that we have found to be really magical and fulfilling for us, and that we've also tested with the couples and the singles that we've worked with over the years. So we know that these discoveries and these processes are reliable. And so I feel very excited to be able to both continue enjoying them myself, but also to make them available to others, because we know that they work.
Well, that's beautiful. What a beautiful gift of the love that you've created together to share that and really create programs that give such powerful access to people to have the same experience. And I'm just wondering, is there what might you share in terms of the actual process or practical steps people could take in preparing to attract in a new love?
Well, I think any powerful self-change program begins with a powerful commitment. And so I think that with commitment, there are a couple of factors that single people really need to consider carefully, and that is, am I ready and willing to actually have a committed relationship? Am I willing at this point in the game to attract into my life somebody that I can make a genuine heart and soul commitment to? Because I see too many people wasting a lot of their time kind of going through people that even aren't even interested in a commitment and that kind of thing, rather than just attracting to them the one person who is willing to make that commitment. So I think that's one thing to powerfully consider, is to ask yourself, is this the time for me to make a commitment? And if so, am I willing to really commit to manifesting a relationship in my heart and soul, to make a real sincere, genuine commitment to it? So that's a good place to start. A second thing is to consider carefully that you've got unconscious commitments to being single that you need to open up to and accept and love about yourself. You know, that's one of the things that I discovered in myself, was that I was unconsciously committed to attracting at a certain point in my life women who were not there for me, or were not committed, or wanted to cheat, or were drug addicts or something like that. So there wasn't any of them available. And so after complaining mightily about that, I suddenly realized, wait a minute, I've got an unconscious commitment that keeps attracting those kind of people into my life. So that's another way you need to look at the issue of commitment.
And I love commitment because it really aligns my my feelings, my thoughts, and my actions. And that's where the real power of manifestation comes from. So I'm gathering my energy, and I'm actually taking it in a chosen direction. One of the things I found really important was not just committing, but recommitting. And to me, that's where the real power to manifest what each of us really wants comes from. So when I slip off, or I realize that I'm acting out of an unconscious commitment to be criticized or have somebody come and fix me, I then simply recommit to what it is I really want. And commitment provides a wonderful way to steer yourself from where you are to where you want to go, but it also gives you a place to come home to. So we're big fans of the power of commitment. But I think that for single people, the most important thing that we see coming up over and over again is opening up to loving yourself, particularly those parts or aspects of yourself that you're convinced are unlovable. Those are the things that often people try to get loved by enrolling somebody else to love them. But if you don't love yourself, you're going to attract someone who also doesn't love themselves. And I wanted to share with you something that we just got yesterday, some feedback from one of our students who's Asian, who wrote us just this lovely note about learning how to love herself. So I'd like to take a moment to share that with you.
Yeah, please.
It says, so she says, "I do not know the proper English words to express how I feel now. In these days, I was noticing that I was noticing I had been alone and single. I knew it, but I did not know it. I mean, I had been dreaming the happy relationship in the future and avoiding feeling loneliness. So I accepted I was alone. I loved my being single, just facing it, embracing it, and loving it. I never did that. And then the deeper noticing was coming. The lonely baby showed up. It was me. I could not accept I was alone. It was too tough for little me to be here and now without somebody to take care of me. So I dreamed out of that how to survive, and it had been working in my unconsciousness. I accepted I was alone. I accepted I was single. Not facing it was the strategy for me to survive to reach here. I am proud of such me. I am in a deep calmness now. Thank you, with love and calmness."
I was so deeply touched when I read that, because it's really that process, whatever it takes, of opening up and loving that unlovable place in ourselves. Mm-hmm. And when you're able to do that, suddenly then relationships become about some other thing. They're not just about trying to learn how to love yourself. They're about creating a relationship out of the experience of having loved yourself deeply.
Well, I know that so often what drives us to find love is to try and heal those places in ourselves. And that was certainly true for me in my early relationships. And, you know, it never really works. Even if you do attract someone into your life, it doesn't really...
No, it doesn't work.
It doesn't really go well.
Well, it looks for a while sometimes like it's going well, but it always ends up reinforcing the unlovability. And
right.
I so appreciated this woman's courage to go ahead and love what she thought was unlovable. And the transformation for her was instantaneous, because the love can spread into those spaces where we've withdrawn our awareness and consciousness, and then we get to welcome them home and feel at home in ourselves. And that makes it possible to then move into a relationship with another person as a whole person. And in that's where creativity comes from, and really being able to listen to each other and listen to what each of you wants. And the whole focus then becomes on appreciating and supporting and expressing creativity rather than trying to get over something.
The thing that I've noticed is, you know, I did a lot of work on myself before I manifested my soulmate, but I, of course, wasn't anywhere near perfect when that happened. And I
shocking,
right? And I'm still not there. But the thing that I noticed is that once I was with my soulmate, there was a level of healing that came that I never could have anticipated.
Yes. And yeah, that's the great gift of relationship is once you've really opened up and loved and honored yourself, then you draw a relationship into your life where you can celebrate that in each other. You know, that it kind of puts the final polish on your ability to love. And it takes a long time. Well, Katie and I have been together over 30 years now, but every day we learn something brand new about how to be closer to each other, about how to tune into each other vibrationally. And, you know, in the last few years, it's really become kind of an amazing experience of telepathy, you know, that I'll think of something and then Katie will call me and ask me about it if I'm out of town. And, you know, it's kind of magical things begin to develop over time.
You know, you mentioned the word vibration, and I know that both of you talk about that there's a specific vibrational shift singles can make that will help them manifest their ideal mate. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. One way to think about that is to feel inside yourself the vibration that would occur if you were not liking yourself at a given moment. And just for trial purposes, try on that experience of not liking yourself or beating yourself up
or
criticizing yourself or feeling there's something fundamentally wrong with yourself. If you're kind of sensitive to that, you feel it sets up kind of a rattle down inside yourself. And what we've experienced is that many people have that rattle down inside going on all the time, but have learned to tune it out. And so the first thing to do is simply acknowledge whatever the vibration is and experience that as it is, and then to begin to fine-tune your vibrational field by loving and honoring more of what's there. And as you do that, you gradually rise in your ability to tolerate more and more love. And out of that comes more and more love being offered to you. And then as you integrate that and open up more to that, then you're able to give more. And it becomes this wonderful, endless cycling loop of rising higher and higher to finer vibrations of love.
Ah, I felt this delicious swoon as you were describing that, Jay. Yeah, I think so many people think if I can just get perfect or if I can just eliminate this thing about me that I don't love, then I'll be able to find my mate. You know, if I get thinner or I, you know, finish my degree or I, you know, or I make more money. And that it's, in fact, really loving, turning toward and embracing that unlovable, that jangle that literally refines your vibration. So it would be like riding in a car that has a flat tire and the kind of the ka-dunk, ka-dunk, ka-dunk. And the difference between that and riding along in a Ferrari, the kind of vroom, the actual experience of vibration itself can keep expanding and getting more and more delicious as an ongoing felt experience. So it's not a place to arrive. It's really a process of expanding more and more our ability to give and receive more love.
Mm. Well, that's wonderful, and it certainly resonates with my own experience of attracting in my soulmate. And I'm wondering if you have any practices or processes that you can share that might give our listeners an experience of this.
Well, one of the most important things that a lot of our students have found and people who've done the Relationship Catalyst find that creating two lists, one of your what we call your absolute yeses and one of your absolute no's. If you create a list of your three most important things, these are things that your body, your whole body opens and says yes to. This is something that I really want. For example, I really want someone who expresses a sense of humor and a kind of an openness to learning in every one of their interactions. That would be an absolute yes. And it's also important to create a list of your three absolute no's. What are the deal breakers for you? The things that if you saw that showing up would let you know you're definitely on the wrong path and this is not someone that you want to create a relationship with. So one of those for me is someone who is mean to animals or children. That's an absolute no for me. And Gay earlier was talking about people who have active addictions. That's an absolute no for him. So having, creating and really inquiring into what are your, the most important things that you want and the most important things that you don't want really gives you a framework for then manifesting at more of a vibrational level the person that you want to bring into your life.
You know, I did this in my process of attracting love, and it really was so helpful. It really enabled me to get absolutely crystal clear about things I never wanted to experience again. And that, you know, that clarity did have me feel safe in many ways to open up to possibility again. It's very, very powerful. I want to encourage everybody to make sure that you take the time to do that.
Yeah, because one thing that I noticed in my life, and I didn't catch on to this until I was 30 years old probably, was that the way I'd grown up, I'd had the experience of being around a parent who was lost in some of her addictions quite a bit of the time. And so even though I didn't personally drink or engage in those particular kind of addictions as a grown-up, I kept attracting women into my life who had various addictions and kind of needed taking care of. And, you know, it was really interesting. You'd think I would have seen where that pattern came from, but it didn't even dawn on me until I was around 30 years old that, oh, my God, I'm creating out of my unconscious need to take care of my mother, who was lost in her addiction sometimes, I'm creating one experience after another where I sort of have to look after an addict. And to see how powerful manifestation is, that, wow, if I could manifest out of 3 billion women on the planet a succession of one after the other that had these kind of problems, just what could I do if I turned my attention to positive manifestation, you know? So,
that's a good thing to remember.
Yeah.
So,
I'm a genius of manifestation. It's just I had my genius hooked to the wrong program.
Right. So, Gay, when you saw that, what was sort of the internal dialogue that you had that said, okay, I now see what I'm doing, but how did you unhook yourself from it?
Well, one of the things I've always been gifted by is my mind is kind of a systems-oriented mind. So when I look at a particular problem, even, you know, once I begin to look at the problem, I can see what the little aspects are that, you know, kind of the one, two, three, oh, here's what creates that problem. And I can kind of begin to unhook it. And so I think that's what happened for me is I immediately saw, oh, what I need to do is make it make a public commitment to not attracting addicts into my life, to only wanting people who were clean and sober and free of active addictions. And so I realized I'd had all this unconscious energy on pulling these unconscious relationships into my life. That same energy could be hooked if I gave it the right direction. I could say, okay, go find me now relationships where the person is clean, sober, and not engaged in an active addiction. And so it's the exact same power. It's just kind of turning it over and hooking it to the right, kind of hooking it to the right cart or
right,
carriage.
Right, right. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. It's like, you know, one of my absolute no's was, you know, I couldn't be with a smoker, but I didn't want to have on my soulmate wish list anything that was worded as a negative. So I was able to put, you know, my soulmate will be somebody who's healthy and fit and into clean living, which,
yes,
of course,
yeah,
eliminates smoking or drugs or anything like that.
Yeah, that's good. You worded it completely positively. I think they have, you know, we say honor the negative, but then put your attention on the positive. In other words, love yourself for having created a succession of unconscious relationships with addicts. Then take a deep breath and put all your energy on manifesting one clean and sober one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are there any more recommendations that you have about the specific lists? I know that you guys, you know, are really talking about the three no's and the three yeses, the three deal breakers, the three things you must have. Is there anything else you'd recommend in that process of getting clear?
One thing that was just occurring to me as we were speaking is that what raises your vibration is treating this experiment as really a whole body, a wholehearted exploration, not just a cognitive experiment. So I really like to encourage people to, when they make a commitment or when they're loving themselves, to let themselves breathe into that and to breathe into any places that feel tight or constricted, or to breathe to include any old beliefs, then letting yourself move in a way that is pleasurable for you. So you're letting yourself take on your manifestation project as really a whole body experiment. So I like to, for example, suggest that people take a walk as if they were already in their relationship with their perfect partner. And how would you be walking around, taking a walk around the block as a person who's already in the relationship that you really want? And then letting your body wisdom really support you in taking the kinds of spontaneous actions and making kinds of choices that come from opening up to all those inner resources that each of us have.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
We got a great email yesterday too that really illustrated another aspect of the attracting. Yeses and nos. I'll just read it to you. She says, "I want to share something that's going on with me these days. For the last few weeks, I've been dating a man, and it's been sweet, magical, loving, and fun." And she puts that in capital letters. "I have never experienced this level of connectedness and care for someone so quickly, and it's mutual. We have fit very effortlessly into each other's lives. This morning, I woke up feeling blessed. Over a year ago, I did the Attracting Genuine Love program, getting very clear on my three yeses and nos. This guy and I have my three yeses. I feel such a strong sense of possibility in this relationship. And as always, if not this, something better. But this is great so far."
Fantastic. It's really just powerful what happens inside of that kind of clarity.
I also think that what she was doing is something that is really valuable in general, which is to declare your commitment and your willingness to share that with somebody so that you're going public with your new mm-hmm. commitment to attract your soulmate or someone who's really can meet you. So to share that with a friend, or this was someone who posted on our community forum board. And I think it's very powerful to let people know that, here's my commitment, and I'm declaring that. And then it gathers support for you moving in that new conscious direction.
I love that, Katie, and especially what you're saying about really taking a stand, making it visible, and in that way, the commitment being very different from what so many of us experience, which is like wishing for love, hoping
right.
for love, praying
Pining.
For love, lighting candles under a particular phase of the moon.
Right.
Which
all can
speaking.
Be fun. But there's something
yeah.
about declaring
right.
that
yeah.
In public that really, again, raises your vibration and mm-hmm. adds much more energy and the support of other people. And I think all of us, want other people to really be in loving relationships and be able to be themselves and feel supported and put their attention on giving and receiving more love and letting that ripple out into the world. And so I think a lot of people are really looking for the opportunity to be supportive.
What are some of the inner shifts that you recommend people do to get to this place?
Well, I think, again, to really start with the commitment shift inside yourself. The commitment shift is really kind of doing an interior, what my high school football coach used to call a gut check, where you kind of check down inside and see how you feel inside. And it's that kind of interior moment of asking yourself, am I really sincere in wanting to manifest a committed relationship? In other words, am I committed to being in a committed relationship? And to get a clear whole body yes, not to fool yourself, because there are times in your life when you may not actually be really willing to commit to somebody else, but you know, for one reason or another, you might feel lonely or something. Something unconscious is kind of driving you toward being in relationship right now. So to do that first commitment gut check, to really make that shift inside yourself, to getting a real whole person, whole body, whole being yes down in yourself that this is something you want to do right now.
And once someone has done that, which is something you can do over and over again, what I really like to suggest is that a person spends 10 minutes a day. I like to do it at the beginning of the day, just 10 minutes, doing something that you love. And so you're actually having the experience of developing your own creativity, of being engaged in something that you're passionate about, because that vibration, that inner shift of really expressing your love for life and your passion for living in your purpose is the best way for you to draw into your life someone who can really meet you at that place. So you're expressing your wholeness and developing your creativity on a day-to-day basis. And it only takes 10 minutes a day. So something that's not, you know, commercially viable, it's really your engaging in what you love to do. So for me, it's I love to move, and so I do spontaneous movement, and then I write in my journal, I come up with different ideas and things. So it might be listening to music, or it might be creating a new recipe. It could be, you know, just what you love to do. So it's a daily commitment to loving yourself and loving yourself in action.
Mm, I love that. That's just a very wonderful, simple practice to take on. And that's the amazing thing, that these things are simple but powerful shifts. And again, like we were talking about earlier, it's not about becoming a perfect person.
No.
But
it's about really loving yourself day to day. And
yeah.
And the next thing that's wanting to be loved will come to your awareness. And it's a simple, organic process that's really just the same as opening and closing your eyes, making that shift from, for example, blaming yourself or criticizing yourself, which is so popular, to really loving yourself as you are right now, and then seeing what is it that I can do to express my creativity, to really express my love into the world today. And that intention really creates a, you know, it creates a funnel that will come back your direction with someone who can really meet you.
Mm. So you two now, it's 32nd year. What do you maybe wish you had known earlier that would have made it easier? Or what suggestions do you have for our listeners about how to really prepare themselves for big love in their life and a relationship that endures over decades to come?
Well, there are certain life experiences that there's no preparation that you can possibly have. And, you know, one might be being on the space shuttle, and even if you've done it on a video game, getting up there and actually putting yourself on top of the rocket and shooting off into space is a very different thing. And so, in a way, having a conscious relationship is sort of like that, because it has to be invented day by day by day. And that's one of the most exciting things. When I wake up in the morning, I wake up in this question of what can I do today that will make it more possible to experience even more love in my life and in my relationship with Katie. And our big question that we always ask each other around here, when we often ask it two or three times a week, is I might come up to Katie while she's doing something and say, do you have a moment? And she'll say yes. And I say, is there any way in which I could be acting or speaking that would make you feel more loved and treasured right now in our lives? And sometimes she can think of something, and most of the times at this stage of the game, she can't. But it's the asking of it that I think is kind of the consciousness that drives a relationship to greater and greater realms of consciousness, is always being wanting to know more about what could make it even better.
Yeah, just being asked that is creates again that vibration of being together and of loving each other that really ripples out through the whole day. And one of the other things that occurred to me is that it's really valuable to take a moment and realize that making these shifts, it looks like it's really formidable. It looks like it's really climbing the mountain. But if you take a look at what's the simplest thing that I could do to get today that's going to move me in the direction of expressing my love, of loving myself more, of doing what I really love to do, of taking a breath when I feel tense, all of those actions really accumulate and become a very powerful river that you can step into that takes you toward your surprising future, because it's always going to be surprising. The person who's waiting for you is going to surprise you, and to let yourself be ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing I've noticed talking to people who, you know, are with their beloved, with their sacred partner, their soulmate, is that the relationship tends to get better with age. Have you noticed that also?
Yeah.
Yeah, not with just with us, but other people that we've been privileged to know who've stepped into really being committed. Particularly one commitment I think really makes a big difference, which is being willing to learn from every relationship interaction. If there's one shift that I think's made, I wish I had known that earlier, would be that there's something here I can learn, even if I, you know, I got hurt or I feel defensive or I really do think it's his fault, that there is something I can learn. And as I really settle into that and get open to learning, it changes the whole interaction from one of, you know, working on your relationship to discovery. And that discovery, that ongoing discovery, is so delicious to experience. And you can keep expanding in that.
You know, I've heard both of you talk about the topic of wonder, and I was wondering if you would share some of that.
Yes, well, wonder is a magic potion for us, because we've seen it work so many miracles in relationship. For example, I've seen couples get unstuck in 10 seconds when they respond to something. We'll say, take a moment to wonder about what the other feeling is underneath your anger. And, you know, it's always either sadness or fear, but they don't realize that because they've been stuck in the anger for so long. And suddenly they realize, oh my God, I'm actually hurt, or I'm scared. That's really what the real issue is here. And having it be about anger over and over is a distraction that keeps people away from finding out what's really going on at deeper levels in themselves. And so a moment of wonder is kind of like a homeopathic drop of love in any situation, because it expands you out from that experience of being contracted, which fear brings, is the kind of a deep gut contraction. And when that eases up and you can love again, and especially when you can direct that love to yourself as well as the other person, some real magic can occur very quickly.
And here's the wonder move. It's a jump start to wondering, which is to create a really pleasant sound that you actually make so that you can hear yourself, because that shifts you from your critical brain to your wonder brain. It opens up the experience of wonder. So if you and then add in, I wonder what I could learn from this, or I wonder what I'm really feeling here, or I wonder what I could share that would make a difference here. The allows you to generate wonder. Plus, it feels really good.
It does feel good. It vibrates.
So what do you see are really the biggest blocks on the pathway to being able to open up to attract the right person? You've worked personally with thousands of people over the years. And where do you see, people might trip up or get stopped as they're in the process of doing all of these things to attract in a soulmate?
I think the big emotional barrier that people drop into is despair. Despair makes people give up, and they kind of get down on a track of despair and suddenly don't realize that they've been overlooking the positive possibilities in a situation. And so to open up and embrace and love and accept that inner state of despair that sometimes comes over us all, then that's to then move out of that despair and begin to focus again on what you want to create. And so the big barrier there is a kind of an undigested, undealt with emotion. And most things that I think people really have as far as barriers in the relationship realm are some version of some fear. They feel like they're not worthy, or they feel like they're unlovable, or they feel like there's something fundamentally wrong with them. And so those emotional barriers keep people from springing free and really focusing again, getting their headlights on what's in front of them.
And the move that I was thinking that comes after that of really loving your feelings and particularly your fear is just going ahead and recommitting. So what I've seen with thousands of people is they realize that they've drifted or they've gotten stuck in criticism or blame, and then instead of simply shifting back into recommitting to what they really want, they go through a cycle of blaming and criticizing themselves and kind of beating up on themselves, and then maybe recommit. And that whole cycle there of blame and criticism is really, it doesn't really further your evolution. Simply recommitting and then putting your attention again on, okay, I really do want to attract a mate into my life, and I felt sad or I felt scared, and I'm going to take a moment to love that, and now I recommit. It's that recommitting that takes you step by step toward your love.
Are there any things that people can do to really keep that possibility alive? Because I think what you're speaking to is a very deep source of pain on the pathway to love for so many people. There are just times that you feel like it feels like there is nobody out there for you and you will be alone forever.
One of the things that just popped into my mind, because I'm wearing one at the moment, is we give out at our seminars and plan to give out this year at our seminars and other events a little silicon wrist band. You've seen them, like the famous Lance Armstrong one that says live strong. Well, ours says breathe, move, love. Because when you're most stuck, sometimes all you can remember to do is breathe. So if that's the only thing you can think of to do, just take some breaths with whatever's going on. And then with that energy, move a little bit, change your body position. Research over and over tells us that changing your body position frequently is one of the best ways to keep a flow of energy moving through you. So breathe, move, and ultimately love, meaning loving as much as you can from wherever you are. That's the beauty of love, is that it can be used in any situation, and it even works so well that you can love yourself for not being able to love yourself.
I like that.
Can you share with us your thoughts about what a soulmate relationship is?
What I think of when I think of what I most appreciate about my relationship with Gay is that I feel a deep respect for Gay's being, and I experience us literally partnering. We are sharing and tossing back and forth, as one might toss a ball, our feelings and our wants and our desires. So we are in an ongoing collaboration where I feel deeply met, and that the meeting opens up discovery over and over again. So for me, it's a meeting and a revealing of essence, who we really are, that occurs, I think, best in the presence of someone else, to find who I am fully and who I am with another. And that's, I think, one of the most wonderful explorations that's available to us as humans.
To me, a soulmate relationship is one, and I've never felt this before except in my relationship with Katie, is one in which I can be fully myself as well as fully there in the relationship too. And the more I'm myself, then the more I can be in the relationship. And so it's been a great blessing over the past 30-some years to just have a person with whom I didn't have to edit anything. You know, I could think out loud constantly with, and I know she's always going to be listening and kind of riffing with me no matter where I go. And to me, that's a delicious feeling as a creative person, to always be in the process of inventing kind of a relationship jazz riff wherever we go.
Yeah, I think that's one of the best definitions of a soulmate relationship, that someone you can completely be yourself with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, whenever I see you two together, you know, or whenever I run into you, Gay, and I ask you how Kathleen's doing, you get the dreamiest look on your face. I was telling Claire about this the other day. It's just so wonderful because your eyes light up and you smile and you kind of relax a little bit, and then you just, oh, she's doing this and she's doing that, and, you know, and it's just so wonderful to see that, you know, 32 years later, you're obviously still in love, and that's just, you know, it really makes my heart sing to be in that presence.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're such an inspiration to all of us, and it's really exciting, I think, the time that we're in, the new possibility of co-creative partnership between men and women or same-sex couples, whatever your orientation is. I think dynamics have really changed, and that can be really confusing in terms of what to expect and how to be. Do you have any thoughts you can share on the topic of really the future of love between partners?
Well, I think everything that we've learned, that we have made available in all of these programs and in our seminars, really applies to any kind of relationship, whether it's with you know, colleagues at work or close friends, you know, or romantic partners, that your individual commitment to loving yourself, to being real, and to creating a space where people can be real with you, you know, that's going to, I think, completely revolutionize our relationships across the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are you two most excited about that you're up to right now?
Well, our big program this year is has been focused on launching the Relationship Catalyst. We put a lot of effort over the past few years into having special music composed, that brain integration music, and creating a program that helps deliver relationship wisdom down into a kind of deeper place inside yourself than normally it gets to if you're just listening to information. And so it's really been a remarkable expanding thing to go through all the processes that are inside the relationship catalyst. There's a section for single people, and there's a section for couples. There's a whole section which reveals three secrets that almost nobody knows about relationship that we kind of had to learn the hard way. And so we have tried to cover everything that people really need in one program, and we've tried to do it in a way also that is a very modern way of delivering it, because it shows up in your iTunes. You know, you don't have to really worry about DVDs or anything like that, although you can get it on a DVD if you really want it on one, but 99% of the folks just download it and have it pop up on their iTunes. And so we are really into helping people make relationship shifts in a whole new, easier way. So it's not about working on your relationship or working on yourself as a single person. It's about finding relationship as a high new form of play and then inviting more of that play into your life.
Well, that sounds like fun.
That sounds like fun.
I think we got him there.
Okay,
yeah,
sign me up.
Say the same thing.
Well, we'll get you on the program right away then.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, that's an exciting possibility about, you know, what it is to have a relationship as an adventure and to really be participating and creating something new, and what an exciting invitation and possibility. Where can people go to find out more about your work and to go even deeper with you?
Yes, one place they can go is our home website, hendricks.com, and that's HENDRICKS.com. And then specifically for the Relationship Catalyst, they can go to relationshipcatalyst.tv. Not .com, but .tv. And that'll take you right to the website that talks all about the Relationship Catalyst.
They can also go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/relationship advice. And we give relationship tips every day, and we have videos about relationship skills, and we also have the different videos about the Relationship Catalyst there. So that's a great place to get support and join a community that's really interested in conscious relationships.
Beautiful. Well, any final words for our listeners on how they can do the inner work and take the outer actions to attract and create a love as gorgeous and rich and beautiful as you've been blessed with?
Well, I think it boils down ultimately to my wristband, breathe, move, love, you know, because you're always going to be coming up against a new set of challenges as you rise higher and higher to finer vibrations of love. And all you can do to facilitate that is welcome those things, breathe and move with them and love them until they disappear into shimmering light. And there you are at a higher now level of ability to give and receive love. So that's the process over and over again.
And you don't have to look for it. You know, you don't have to look under the bed for it or in the closet. It's going to be right there. Whatever it is that's calling to you to breathe and move and love is going to be what you are aware of, and that's where you start.
Beautiful. And I'm just having an impulse to ask you both, as just this beacon flame for conscious loving soulmate love, to just maybe close with a blessing or some kind of offering to just transmit that energy of your relationship to all of our listeners.
Yes, take a moment right now, wherever you are and whenever this finds you, to think of someone you love a lot. Just let a person come to mind. Or it could even be something you love a lot, like hiking in the mountains or walking on the beach. But take a moment to make real in your body and mind something you really love a lot. And now give that same love to yourself. And may your life always be an expanding series of ripples, rippling out from that love that you feel deep in your heart for yourself and all of us here on the planet.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We love you, we appreciate you, and we're so grateful for the love and wisdom you shared with us today. You know, I think we all must be soulmates here.
Oh, well, thank you. It's so really a delight to be sharing this time and space with you.
Thank you for listening to the Ultimate Soulmate Summit, brought to you by The Soulmate Secret and the Calling in the One online course. For more information about how you can download the audios in this series or order the CD set and companion workbook, please visit soulmateaudios.com. Again, that's soulmateaudios.com. On behalf of Ariel Ford, Claire Zammit, and our event partners, we want to thank you again for participating in this series and send you much love and support on your journey to manifesting your soulmate.